So there's always going to be levels to everything that you're doing. And I've found a new, you know, every new level comes with a new amount of joy, right? For, you know, different things, whether it different lessons that I get to learn at that specific level or what I get to look forward to the next level. But there's always another level to go. And realizing that for me has driven me to really focus on the, you know, learning aspect of it. There's always so much to learn.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Deeper the Dough podcast. I am excited to be here with Ethan Rutter, a fellow member of Apex. I guess I'm a former member of Apex, but anyways, Ethan, nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you as well, man.
And then Ethan, you said you're out of Oklahoma City, is that correct?
Oh, yep, OKC,
that's correct. Is that where you were born? Is that where you're from?
Nope. From Wichita, Kansas originally, and then moved down here back in 2019. So
awesome. Let's start with a quick background of you, Ethan.
Sure.
Just
kind of overall, I was in the corporate world for a long time. Back in 2019, ironically enough, decided to get into sales myself and just start expanding the, you know, see what else was out there. Uh-huh. Just been rocking and rolling ever since. So,
okay.
And just work wise.
You have a logo on your shirt. What's the?
Yep. CurePay. Yeah. So we do merchant services. So we help businesses, all types, point of sales, virtual side of things, invoicing. We do digital marketing as well. Okay. So SEO, social media, and like email campaigns too. So
awesome. And you do sales for that company. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Correct. Yep.
Cool. So I'll start off with a pretty basic question. Which is success? Like, what does success mean to Ethan?
So success to me is, I learned pretty quickly in my sales journey that money, it just doesn't mean as much as what you initially think, right? And once you start earning more than what you need, it starts to open your eyes to, you know, the freedoms that come when you start earning above what you, quite frankly, never thought you would make, at least in my case, right? So success to me is really around what does my family look like, the time I get to spend with them, you know, the faith, fitness, and then obviously finances. So success really involves all four of those areas to me, rather than just the, you know, one dimension of just what do you earn yearly, right?
I like that. And you started speaking to it already a little bit as it, for you to change the definition of success. If I heard you correctly, it was, well, I had to make the money first. And then I was like, wait, this isn't maybe not as fulfilling, or it's not as good as I thought it was. Is that pretty accurate?
100%. Yeah. I mean, once we started making, started earning more than what I thought, I just realized that it just didn't matter as much.
Money, what's that? Money doesn't make my life perfect, but
yeah, I know it's wild, right?
You're like, what?
Thankfully, we did not get caught in the trap of, you know, just spending, you know, the money that we were making. So I say we with my wife. So we've been together. We actually this June we celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. So we've been in a long haul together. So
awesome. And then, do you have any kids?
We have one currently. She just turned 2 on New Year's Eve.
Oh yeah.
And then we have another on the way due in June. Oh. So
that's a great birthday. That's my birthday as well. New Year's Eve. There's a party every weekend. I mean, every birthday.
Yes. Every year.
So that's awesome. Talk to me kind of about, I mean, how is your journey of sales and I guess also changing the definition of success and what you're after? How has your wife been a part of that and also influence, I guess, your focus and to give you a little bit more background of the question, for me, my wife helps me a ton because I tell myself it's not about the financial success or the recognition or this or that. But I'll be the first one to admit that I always get caught back into it. I'll start working, but it's weekends again or something. But because I've made that commitment with my wife, she's able to be like, hey, you committed to me. Like, what's actually important mm-hmm. to you? And honestly, my kids even do that. My 6-year-old will be like, what's more important, daddy? And I'm like, okay, you sucker. And then it brings me back and reminds me of, again, what I tell myself success is. But love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So my wife, obviously we've been together. We're high school sweethearts. So, she's been an extremely integral part of everything that we've been able to do together so far. Initially just kind of getting into the sales realm and taking that risk for our family of, not having a guarantee, getting into 100% commission. That was scary, right? Thankfully, she has a master's in nursing and, we both were working our way up the corporate ladder. And with her commitment and everything that, all the work that she had done allowed me to, take that huge risk, and get into, uncharted waters for our family. Thankfully those risks began to pay off. And just a year and a half ago, she was able to also step out of the corporate life and we actually get to work together now. So we both do the same thing. So it's been a pretty wild journey. But it's been a blast so far.
Okay. Are you on the 100% commission route right now? And then also when did you initially switch over to doing that? I came from a door to door background. And so I get that. I did a 100% commission.
Yeah. So my, what brought us to Oklahoma City originally was, in-home sales doing, kind of the door to door stuff, right? I'm more like the higher pressure, like, I either sell something or I don't make any money, right? And then that later transition to, going from B2C over to B2B took the deep dive going B2B about a little over a year ago. So okay. A little bit different structure now, but, for the most part, it's, if you don't build those relationships and, help businesses out, it's a feast or famine. So
how long did it take you to, get used to the, it's a big shift, right? I'm going from a corporate job. Here's my paycheck to I'm betting 1,000% on me. If I don't make a sale that day, I'm not getting paid. And the other shitty part about that job is not only is it you're capable of making no money today, you're capable of losing money because you wake up to a cancellation. But yeah, and it's just like, and mentally, it's so taxing. Are there any pieces of advice that you have for somebody that's either looking at taking that leap and saying, hey, I'm going to get into 100% commission based sales or just entrepreneurship in general? I guess what advice would you have for them? Or if they're already in it, they're struggling.
Yeah. So for me, when I got into sales, it was, again, uncharted waters. So what I did was kind of unique. I kept my corporate job, working from about 6 to 4 or 5 every day. And I would go do in-home sales in the evening time, which made for some really long days, yeah. Right? And first month that I did that, had a little success with it. Obviously, never done it before. Had a long long presentation to learn and to perfect and figure out how to, put my personality into it. Right. And then my second month blew it. Absolutely sucked. I should have been fired, quite frankly. Did terrible. I went on 34 appointments driving you all over, 3-4 hours away driving to these appointments. And
HVAC systems or what was it?
Water filtration. So like water softeners, reverse osmosis, things like that. And drove all over and wasted, time and money with gas and made no money, right? Zero money. So at that point in my sales career, my wife, again, Uncharted Waters, was just, you know, we started having those conversations like, hey, you know, is this something, are you sure that this is the route that we're going to go? And granted, I still had my corporate job at that point and was still having income, thankfully. And, you know, it was just at that point after, you know, I hit number 30 of no sale, 30 days in a row, which is tough, right? And it was holy crap. Like maybe she's right. Maybe I do need to stick to, you know, the corporate job. Maybe this isn't for me. And all those thoughts start going through your head as a salesperson and 100% not making any money. And really, that was kind of what started my journey on learning and reading, quite frankly. And we were able to take a vacation. I read a book. It was Bobby Bones, actually. It was the Fight, Grind, Repeat.
What's it called?
It was Fight, Grind, Repeat by Bobby Bones. Yeah. And it was just a really impactful book for me. And it just helped me kind of gather my thoughts and, you know, hey, is this what I'm going to do? Right. And came back and, you know, thank God, was able to figure it out and sold my first deal back, and then sold the next one, the next one, the next one. Ended up selling like 7 deals in a row after, you know, 34 in a row of no's, basically, right? Figured it out third month, ended up in the top 3 sales reps in the company. Fourth month, same thing. Fifth month, same thing. Sixth month, you know. And by my fourth month, I ended up putting in my notice and leaving my corporate job. You know, just kind of went on from there. So
if I heard you right, the advice would be you got to learn it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would agree with that. When I was doing the sales the door to door, I was recruiting teams as well. And it was pure summer. That first summer, we had 40 idiots following an idiot, me. We all moved up to North Carolina. No, nobody knows what we're doing. But I do think that what helped me was something similar. I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, and a lot of interesting things stuck out. But that in your 20s, work to learn, not to earn. And that convinced me that, and especially, man, the money in sales is crazy. So it's like, okay, I had the mentality that I was going to be a doctor. So I was committed to going to school for 8 years and then 3 years of residency. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, all to make maybe, you know, $250,000 in a year working 60 hours. As soon as I saw the potential to make $250,000 in a summer, then I'm like, okay, well, what education am I willing to go through for this? So that really stuck out. And then that gave me that lesson of there aren't born salespeople, just like there are born doctors or born nurses or born lawyers. It's a skill set. Now, yeah, you can be born with the tendency to be an extrovert versus an introvert, XYZ. But at the end of the day, it's just, I had that mindset of what is the top salesperson doing that I can't learn? And then now owning my own business is the same thing. What's the top franchise or the top food company? What are they doing that I can't learn? And I am 1,000% convinced that the answer is nothing. There's nothing that somebody is doing that I can't figure out or hire the right people to figure out. So that's been a super valuable lesson to me as well. Is there any other resources that you leaned on outside of that book that helped you out?
Really in that situation, it was just simplicity. So many people overcomplicate everything, especially in sales. They'll get in their mind once they start to see success that, you know, they know how to do it better, or, you know, there's a new hot way to sell or whatever, right? But like the reality is it's, you know, you find a need and you fill it. Like it really is that simple. You know, so many people try to change the, you know, the script or the words or, you know, all the whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, learn and do when you're in front of a, you know, prospect, right? But the reality is find a connection and be yourself. And again, find the need and fill it. It really is that simple.
It comes down to that confidence piece.
And, for sure.
And you could be confident if you're being yourself. And you can't be confident if you have a product that you're selling and it has a downside, which every product does. And you're like, I hope they don't trust you about it. You know, it's like, Just bring it up. This is why people buy from me. This is why people don't buy from me. Yep. And, you know, that's for me, that's given me a lot of success is don't give them all the pros. Give them all the pros and give them all the cons and let them decide.
Sure.
And I think that gives, it builds trust a lot. Because not a lot of salespeople are saying, hey, this is why people don't go. Otherwise, sure. They're going to, everybody wants to make a decision themselves. You know, we love buying and we hate being sold. So I just want the pros and the cons and then let me choose. And I also think that's the best way to sell people is how you want to be sold. Because again, it comes back to be yourself, which brings that confidence and people just want to trust you. And if you do it right.
That's it.
Leads to a lot of referrals. It leads to a lot of future successes. So I like that a ton. Whether this is this question that you could answer sales related, personal, family, finance, whatever. But if you can think back to a time that you struggled mentally, so whether it's mindset, mental health, depression, anxiety, whatever, if you're comfortable sharing that and also anything that you did to come out of that.
Sure. It was prior to getting into sales. Really just being in the corporate world, I didn't feel fulfilled, right? Like I knew there was limitations to what I was able to do because other people were deciding, right? They were deciding whether I would get promoted or they had all the decisions in their hand, no matter what I did. And, I struggled for a long time just getting to the point where it was just like, just again, not fulfilled. Like I'm not doing what I'm called to do. And it was a dark spot just to, you know, try to figure out what it was, right? Like I had no idea, you know, what I was quote unquote called to do. Right. And it was just one of those things that I had always done what I thought was right. And that was a tough spot. That was when, my brother, best friend, just kind of let it all out one night and we just prayed, right? And dove into it. And, you know, that really helped me mentally to prepare that the fact that I needed to make a change. I didn't know what it was, but it was time to start looking for a change because I knew that if I didn't, that it was going to impact every other area of my life. And, that was before getting into sales, right? So
it's really surrounding like purpose and meaning, mm-hmm. that existential crisis, which I think is, it's tough, but I also think that everybody needs to go through it and the sooner that you go through it, the quicker you can look back and then make those changes. And I also feel like I do that pretty frequently. Like it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was kind of a one-time catalyst of like, I need to reanalyze. And it made such an impact on my life that I constantly need to go do it. Am I doing, and I'm feeling my purpose, you know?
Right.
So I like that. I guess summarizing, the struggle was, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? You went, got help by talking with a brother, had a spiritual moment, prayed together. And then the answer was, you need to change it up. You need to do something different. Yeah. You need to change it up.
Yeah. Action is what it was.
Awesome.
That was it.
I guess what would the advice be to someone else that's in that same situation? Whether, you know, somebody's in the same situation of I'm doing something. I'm kind of going through the motions. I'm not super passionate. I don't love what I'm doing. What would the action item that you'd give them? What would that be for them to, I guess, make that same realization that you made?
Find people, right? Find somebody that you or a group that you can surround yourself with that have or doing something that you want to do, or have found their purpose, and just have those conversations. And, you know, what did you do? How did you find it? You know, really just find brother, right? And it very could well, it, you know, the reality is it could be a stranger, right? It could be somebody online, you know, send the message, be uncomfortable, you know, reach out to people and, you know, God's timing's perfect, at the end of the day. So
I like that. It's really just asking for help, having the humility, but also the vulnerability of, hey, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
And the truth that I've seen to that is nobody has it. And so pretty bit like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. It's and we think we're being vulnerable, and we are being vulnerable by saying that. But at the same time, like anybody you're reaching out and saying, hey, I need some help because I don't know. The answer is they also don't know. They know parts. So, you know, I'm just trying to ease in that. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable because nobody knows. So may as well ask. And also like the online, like if you ask random people, again, going back to sales, one thing that I liked and that a mindset that I use on door-to-door sales is I can knock the door and some crazy person could answer and I, you know, super rude and I can literally look him in the eye and go tell him that, you know, F you, I hate your mom. And it doesn't matter. I have an unlimited amount of tries, right? I could just go to the next door. I just have to shake that off. No matter how badly you mess up with one, you can always go to the other. And I also think that, you know, is applicable here. If you're looking for somebody to help you, to give you advice, and if it's a random person on the internet, most people do want to help. But if they don't, you just kind of go to the next person. I guess the difficult part of there is, at least in sales, and I imagine it'd be the same. Anytime we ask for help and people tell us no, or we ask them to buy something and they tell us to no, it's very hard to detach. No, Ethan, I don't want to buy a water softener, to you take it as, Ethan, I don't like you as a person, you know,
yeah, for sure.
Detaching that, it's just a product. It's just a, you know, it doesn't mean anything about you, on a personal standpoint. So, another question again, I guess shifting more to joy and fulfillment. If you can speak to, remind me, what was the corporate job that you were doing when you quit to start doing the water softeners?
Yeah. So I worked at a flour mill, is what I was doing. So I got to, was playing in, baking flour all day long, basically.
Okay. So talk about the joy and fulfillment or lack thereof that you felt when you were doing flour mill versus selling water softeners versus selling merchant services and how that relates.
Yeah. So it was just wild from just the stages, right? So life was good when I was in the corporate world. You know, from the outside in, right? The perception was, you know, we had nice cars, a nice home. Life was good, right? It just didn't feel fulfilled, right? And then it's levels though, right? Because you're, as you advance and get into different levels of things, whether it's different, you know, financial successes, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be levels to everything that you're doing. And I've found a new, you know, every new level comes with a new amount of joy, right? For, you know, different things, whether it different lessons that I get to learn at that specific level or what I get to look forward to the next level. But there's always another level to go. And realizing that for me has driven me to really focus on the, you know, learning aspect of it. There's always so much to learn, whether, you know, sales or, you know, leadership. And my passion at the end of the day is helping others see that they can do way more than what they initially thought, because that's what I was able to see.
Yeah. And we also, I mean, it's kind of started off getting to know each other by Apex. It's a mastermind group. When did you join Apex and why did you choose to join, mastermind group?
Yeah. So it was probably about 2.5 years ago. I was just at a point where I was coming to the next crossroad of, you know, did I want to keep doing what I was doing with, B2C, right? And doing home filtration, or was I, what did I need to do to get to the next level? Right. Once you hit the top of the mountain, it's either you stay there or you crawl back down and you go find another mountain to crawl up. and getting into a group of people that were letting go of, you know, high paying jobs and, you know, taking the risk in themselves for entrepreneurship, whatever, you know, they were after. It allowed me to really hone in and focus on the fact that there was still a lot more left, but I was going to have to let go of a lot and put my faith in God and trust the process and be patient. So,
you talked about you climbed a mountain and then the levels. And I want to challenge that a little bit. One, I relate to it.
Sure.
But me personally, I'm trying to stop doing that. Like you have the happiness gap. This is where I'm at, and I'll be happier when I get this. So there's two ways to bridge that gap. It's I want $1 million or a $10 million business or XYZ. So you go achieve that. Okay. And then bridge that gap and boom, you have your happiness. The issue with that is, and you can ask anybody, but you don't need to because you know how many goals have you achieved that you said I would be happier when, and you hit that goal. And then what happens is your body reaches homeostasis again, your happiness levels come back down to normal. And then boom, you set the next gap or the next goal, which now creates that gap. So the other way of bridging that gap is not wanting to go climb the next mountain, because frankly, you're going to do that for the rest of your life. It's how do I just bring what I want and how do I want what I already have, I guess. That's a meditation that I've gone through and I really like that. So you go, man, if I could do anything in the world, what would I be doing? You know, I would be sleeping on the most comfortable mattress that the king of Egypt didn't have, you know, like, and then I think, oh, actually my mattress is more comfortable than the king of Egypt. And then that's where I'm wanting what I already have. And it helps me to not want to climb that next mountain, because during that time, I feel like it's easy to sacrifice time with my family, with my kids, because I want to achieve more. And then I just ask myself, why? What the hell? Why do I want more? And then I'm trying to want less rather than try to acquire the tools to then achieve more. I'm just trying to want less. That's something, a personal journey. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So I would say my big thing with call it the mountains, right? The mountain that I was on was working all the time, right? It was sacrificing everything, you know, my family, if you think about it, like on the mountaintop, so to speak, right? It was just me. It didn't include my health. It didn't include my faith, and more importantly, it didn't include my family, right? So stepping off of that mountain and going to climb the next one, right? It wasn't necessarily for the financial success. It was more for the, you know, my arms locked with my wife, with our children, right? And when we get to that next mountaintop, we're all together, right? That was really the big thing for me. Right. Cause I've seen money isn't everything. Right. And you could have all the money in the world, and if you don't have your family with you, then what is it? What's it really matter?
You know, you could do that though without the money. I'm a part of some different masterminds, and I like going to I'll go to some of these events for the networking aspects, but also listen. And most of it is about be more, even if it's like be more fit or be more XYZ,
sure.
Not even just the money. And I don't know, you know, I'm always trying to figure things out. And I'm just like, would it be better to teach people just to be content with who they are and where they're at rather than teach them, hey, you can have a six pack? And it's like, okay, what do you need a six pack for? Can you just teach me how to be healthy with and then be content? So anyways, I like David Goggins would be a great example. He's he's an awesome guy. I can relate to him at all because it's all about do more, be more. And I'm just like, until when? And it is not, he's not focused on fitness. I'm sorry. He's not focused on money per se. It's more the fitness, but I'm just kind of like, until what end? So anyways, everyone's got a different point of view. I think Goggins is
true,
but I don't relate to that mindset. Last question, Ethan. How do you want to be remembered? What's the legacy that you want to leave behind after your dog?
Really, it's my family and the time that I was able to spend and the amount of people that I was able to help. Right. That's really how I want to be remembered, you know, that I was able to help a ton of people and that, just family respected me and knew that I did everything for them.
Love it. Love it. How can our listeners connect with you?
Hit me up on social media, and then our website is curepay.com. So, and you can see us on there as well.
Awesome. Ethan, thank you for spending the time. I appreciate you being a guest. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man.